The concerns of people who are both Indigenous and queer come to the fore this week at Southern Oregon University. The university's annual Queer Indigenous Gathering is scheduled for this Wednesday, March 11th. It's been going on at this time of year for several years now. Let's hear more about what led up to it and what it is about. Two guests join us. Brooke Colley is a Southern Oregon University assistant professor and the chair of Native American Studies. Dr. Colley, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Veronica Green is a student at Southern Oregon University, a sophomore and a teaching assistant in Native American Studies. Thank you so much for joining us, Veronica.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here. Brooke, tell me about Native American Studies first off. Did it originate with you at Southern Oregon University?
No. Southern Oregon University's had a Native American Studies program for about 26 years now. It was really created and developed by David West and Brent Florendo. And I actually was a student here some 15 years ago, and decided after I got my PhD in Native American Studies to come on back and work with the wonderful program that had been developed by those individuals. And now I'm in my fifth year here as the chair and associate professor of Native Studies.
And the Queer Indigenous Gathering actually originated at Portland State when you were there, is that right?
Yeah, so I was a professor or lecturing there for a year, and while I was there, I created the Queer Indigenous Studies class, and then the class decided as a collective final to put on the gathering, and so that was the first year. And then when I came down here to Southern Oregon, I brought it with me, and we've continued that tradition, and so this is actually the sixth year, but the fifth at Southern Oregon.
For the people who may be giving blank looks at the very term of Queer Indigenous Studies, can you explain what that's about?
Sure. So I'm what maybe one would call a Native American Studies generalist. I've got my doctoral degree in that. And so there's a lot of areas in Native Studies which I think people are sort of have historically been used to learning about, maybe like histories of Native people, often thinking predominantly of our communities as living in the past. Queer Indigenous Studies is looking at gender, sexuality, other ways in which we can queer what we would call colonial logics. So homophobia, racism, extraction economies that remove various substances from the earth, damaging it and the very life that we rely on to survive, right? So the idea of queering certain behaviors.
You're using queer as a verb here, is that right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So and so in a queer indigenous lens helps us see some of these things that are quite odd and strange that we have normalized, like certain capitalistic endeavors that destroy the earth that we need, right, to live, the water that we need to live, but also looking at the contributions of and the work of creativity from queer indigenous members of our communities. We also look at like ingrained homophobia in both the broader society and also how it's impacted indigenous communities. And so there's a whole realm of possibilities when studying queer indigenous studies.
So, Veronica Green, tell us a bit about you and what attracted you to this class, this set of studies.
Well, it was my first year at SOU, and I really wanted to take something indigenous and queer. And I saw it posted on the Moodle page, and I was like, oh, okay, let's do this. And I was really excited for it, and I learned so much. And I'm glad Burke called me back to be a TA for the next year. I was fresh out of high school, ready to do stuff, and yeah.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school at the Native American, at the time it was called the Early College Academy, but now it's called the Many Nations Academy. Couldn't tell you why they renamed it, and that is where I graduated.
Mm-hmm. So was part of the attraction at Southern Oregon University that they had a course that dealt with the indigeneity and queerness?
I didn't know at the time when I, like, applied for the school and I got into the school that they had a queer indigenous class, but I was just like looking for something to help with my NAS minor and looking for something that was like empowering for me, and I was like, yeah.
So V, can you talk a little bit about how you first learned about the gathering though, because you did learn about it before
you decided
to come to school?
That's
here.
That's right. I was attending NAIA and I was working on some scholarships and stuff, and one of my great friends, Clay River, who unfortunately can't make it to the gathering this year, told me about this queer indigenous gathering being held at Southern Oregon University. And I was like, whoa, I can't wait to go. Like, let's do it. Let's go. I'm ready. Pack the car. car. And then I couldn't go because I had to work on scholarships.
Right.
but Clay definitely did talk about me. And here I am.
So we knew V before they arrived.
Yes.
Okay. So your story preceded you.
Yes.
And so I don't want to make an assumption here, but I want to, if you can address the challenges of being Indigenous and queer.
It's really hard because you have one foot in your Indigenous community and you have another foot in the queer community, and the Indigenous community, your Indigenous community doesn't always accept your queer identity, doesn't always accept pronouns and sexualities and different genders that you might want.
And the pronouns, you prefer they, them, theirs?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's correct. Even now, like when I go back to Chiloquin, I'm from the Klamath Indian old reservation, Chiloquin, mm-hmm. Oregon. Even when I go back there, I get misgendered all the time because people just don't bother to ask or don't just assume. And when I'm in the queer community, it's hard because I'm brown and they don't understand the struggles of being targeted and oppressed in your day-to-day life just for being a different color. Not being seen, fading into the background. It was always something that happened to me in the queer community, especially in Portland.
Really, in Portland, you would think would be more open-minded.
Yeah. A lot of people have that assumption about Portland. Huh. It's definitely not all liberal there.
Well, and sometimes even liberal and progressive doesn't mean that you escape from various kinds of discrimination. I think a lot of folks who we study in the class in terms of like the writers who penned the book Queer Indigenous Studies, one of the editors, Quo Lee Driscoll, actually will be here at the gathering this year. But those authors write a lot about the double bind of being queer and Indigenous, of having experiencing both homophobia and racism, and having to sort of code switch and be able to claim certain parts of identities in certain social spaces, but having to sort of hide or obscure or not play up other aspects of one's identity. And this can be really challenging for individuals because they're not able to live their full selves. They have to always be sort of mediating who they are in relationship to other people.
That sounds tiring, Veronica.
It sure is. Constantly walking on eggshells of who I should talk to, who I can talk to, who I shouldn't talk to. It's hard. Even mm-hmm. the people I'm related to sometimes are not great people.
We are talking about the Queer Indigenous Studies and the Queer Indigenous Gathering this week. It's Wednesday, March 11th at the Southern Oregon University campus. Veronica Green is a Southern Oregon University student, and Dr. Brooke Colley is the organizer and the chair of the Native American Studies program. Conversation you are welcome to join here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Brooke Colley, when I think about Native American stories generally, mm-hmm. A lot, I think, has probably been lost over time because people were killed and displaced and lots of other bad things happened that are likely to cause history to get truncated, lost. Is it even worse when you're trying to talk about Indigenous queer people?
So the book that we use, Queer Indigenous Studies, the very first line is like, this book is an imagining. And I always, and even at the end, it talks about, where we go from here, like how we sort of imagine or dream future. And I don't really think of like our stories or our histories as being lost, because of course that word itself sort of obscures from view the specifics of massacres, of ideologies of manifest destiny, of the doctrine of discovery, and all of these other ways of thinking and behaviors of actual people, right? That the effects of boarding schools on our communities, and actually public education as well. So what I think about is like a rupture. Like if you have like a clay pot, and you know it's a pot, right? A clay pot, and you drop it on the ground, and you then piece it back together. It's still a clay pot, but now it also has these fissures and broken, maybe some broken places or some missing pieces, right? And so you're like, this is still a clay pot, and it's still has a identity, but now the identity also includes some of those broken, ruptured, hurt, traumatized places. And then I think with the work of queer Indigenous studies and also Native American studies and also a lot of Native people in our communities is about mending those places that have been broken or damaged or hurt through this process, this 500-year process of colonization that really affected all of us. And so that,
not just Indigenous people.
That's right. I think it very negatively affected non-Indigenous people as well. And so thinking about like how we mend the beauty that we carry despite having various harmed places, right? And the power that can be from the margins. So when folks who have been marginalized and oppressed, they really have quite a great view of the world that we live in and complex understanding of social systems and of interpersonal relationships. And so like the knowledge that is produced within queer Indigenous communities is so great and multifaceted. And often these are folks who are on the front lines of environmental fights and social justice fights and who put themselves in harm's way or who speak up around healthcare, discrimination within healthcare, within housing, within education. And so, yes, there's been a lot that's been harmed, and yet in some of our Indigenous traditions, like things like language and spirituality, they can't ever be lost because they are always being performed by either spirit people or the land itself. You know, these are gifts from the earth, from the land that feeds us, right? And so those things can't ever be completely destroyed, right? They exist somewhere waiting to be safe again until that they can come back into full into full life again, right? Until we can live sovereign, live as Indigenous peoples and live with the acceptance of all of our community members and all of the gifts that they give, and to have like a healed and mended circle, if you will.
The acceptance of all of our community members gets back to talking about but your particular experience, Veronica, and I just wonder if there are many more people you suspect who are Indigenous and in the closet because of community pressures.
Yes. I have been friends with a lot of people who are in the closet who have told me that they were queer in some way, shape, or form in Kay Falls. A lot of them, unfortunately, are like alcoholics or drug addicts, and it breaks my heart, but it's what we have to do to cope sometimes, to survive. But yeah,
Veronica Green and Dr. Brooke Colley, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Queer Indigenous Gathering coming up this Wednesday, March 11th, here on the Jefferson Exchange. Are there differences country to country? I mean, is it different in Canada, for example? Do we know? I mean, if there's better dealings for people who are Indigenous and queer on the other side of the border?
So I would think of, like, it's important for folks to understand that queer Indigenous society is a huge, like, saying queer Indigenous is a huge umbrella that that encompasses, like, so many different dimensions. In some communities, there were not just two genders, but three, four, and I've heard as much as up to 13 or 14 distinct gendered identities in some tribal communities. A lot of those tribal communities still have certain terms that they still employ and use to talk about those other third, fourth plus gendered members in their community. But queer indigeneity can also be being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and plus. But also it can be like anybody who, it doesn't necessarily have to be about sexuality or gender either, but folks who embody some way of being that helps us see our society better, that helps us stay in balance, that can sometimes be in contradictory to like the dominant view in order for us to learn and to explore the world that we live in. And so I think that there are probably thousands of distinct identities and ways in which these, you know, hundreds of different Indigenous communities understand those individuals in their communities historically, and some still do today, have been able to carry that forward despite the pressures of colonial logics and homophobia and other kinds of like inherent or internalized violences.
People who really come at this from a different angle. I mean, just basically challenge the white worldview.
Yeah, and I would say settler worldview. Mm-hmm. But yes, this idea of compartmentalizing people, of the fact that some people are expendable in our society. We study in our class this concept of gendercide, the actual intention to destroy in whole or in part an entire gender of, or genders from the face of the earth. Now, of course, that's impossible to do because people continuously are born. And, you know, queer Indigenous peoples are natural, normal parts of our world and our society, and we need each other. We all need to be here in order to be a whole place, in order to be able to like see the beauty of our world and to take good care of it and to have that knowledge. So it's an ongoing process to critique those ideals that were packaged and sent around the globe through the colonial process. That's been going on for over 500 years, so we have a lot of work to do. And queer Indigenous studies classes are still fairly new and few and far between. And so it would be great if more Native studies and more Native studies programs in general popped up and became more present and prevalent on university campuses. And then they should have a queer Indigenous studies class and others. We're developing a decolonizing transgender class and also a Indigenous masculinities class and a Native feminisms class. So our program is growing to be responsive and to meet these needs as well.
Just a couple seconds left. The gathering is March 11th. What time of day?
Doors open at 5. Mm-hmm. Please come and enjoy food. We're going to be feeding people a full meal. And we have 5 in-person guests and a couple of other guests that are going to be joining us via Skype. Veronica here is going to be performing as well.
And where is this?
It's in the Rogue River Room at Southern Oregon University.
Okay, so doors open at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, March 11th. That's the Queer Indigenous Gathering. Dr. Brooke Colley is the Native American Studies Chair. Veronica Green is a sophomore at SOU and a teaching assistant as well. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.